Our God and Father, we come before you not because we are something splendid or something significant, but because you are. We are here this morning because you are a great God. We look forward to the day that all will see that truth and will bow down and recognize that you are Lord. God, this morning, would that truth either shake our faulty foundations or build them even firmer upon the rock of who you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Oh, that's so good to hear. It's good to hear that once in a while. Yeah, sometimes we question that, right? The world is full of questions. Questions like, is cereal just cold soup? Is a hot dog a sandwich? That one will debate back and forth, right? How much wood just would a woodchuck chuck? Who was the first person? This is one I always think. Who was the first person that looked at an egg after it came out of a chicken and said, you know what, I'm going to eat that? Questions. Questions in life. Questions like, you aren't going to wear that, are you, honey? Or even worse, what is that smell? Was that you? Life is full of questions. But some of the questions are weightier, right? They sink down to the core of who we are. And they really strike at the core of our existence and weigh heavy on our minds and hearts. Questions of purpose, questions of morality, questions of significance. Well, we're diving in, and last week we started our journey through four big questions. The answers we find, they're not going to be comprehensive, okay? I mean, come on. People far smarter than you and I have been debating and discussing and philosophizing over this for millennia. We're not going to pack it all together in a nice little four-week series. But I believe that the answers are really a springboard into your own journey into these answers. Some of these questions you might never have thought of before. And I hope some of them you have. But I really hope that it provides fuel for your journey into these answers, because really they are significant enough to deserve your effort in finding the answers. And this week, it's Valentine's Day. So we're going to talk about love, right? No. I'm going to take my cue off of Ephesians 4:15 that says we speak the truth in love. See, truth and love are inextricably bound to one another. And so we're going to ask this question, what is truth? What is truth? Because this question is huge, right? Especially if we're in a series with big questions. What is the point of asking big questions if there isn't truth from which we can find big answers? Truth is significant. If there's no such thing as truth, any search for truth, any search for morality, purpose, significance, all of that is going to just be an exercise in futility if truth is nothing more than a construct of our imagination. According to Bob Dylan, great theologian, all the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. Boy, isn't that just inspiring. Or the Irish writer Oscar Wilde wrote, the truth is rarely pure and never simple. Well, that I might agree with to some extent. It certainly is not. But is it really that depressing? Is there really no hope of ever finding the truth? Because let's be honest, we live in a world that is surrounded with vague answers and confusing replies. Is there a God? Maybe. Where did everything come from? Well, the Big Bang triggered everything. Before that, we can't say for sure. How do I know what's right and what's wrong? Well, there's no absolute morality, so just do whatever feels good in the moment. Don't judge anybody else for doing what you disagree with. And what happens when I die? Well, probably that's the end, but nobody can say for sure. Boy, isn't that just such a meaningful existence? Doesn't that just make you want to get up in the morning? No, I want to stay under the covers. I don't want to face that world. Well, fortunately, that's not the real thing. A man once said The fact is, the truth matters, especially when you're on the receiving end of a lie. And it's with great regret that I tell you the person that said that was Ravi Zacharias. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it turns out much of the world was on the receiving end of his lie. See, Ravi is a great Christian apologetic defender of the faith. Many great arguments, intelligent mind, keen intellect, and a capacity of presenting the truth in a way that would strike at the mind of the highest scholar and yet speak to the heart of the lowliest person. And yet, this entire time, and he spoke to millions, this entire time, that was a facade, covering up a life of sexual abuse and mistreatment of women. My heart's breaking. I'm not saying that to slander him. We all have our flaws. We all have our weaknesses. My heart laments that that's what he has done. My heart breaks with those women that he mistreated. My heart breaks for his wife who's going through all this right now that he's passed. But what he said is so true. The truth is important, especially when you're at the receiving end of a lie. That's why it breaks our hearts. We wish we had known the truth the whole time, that Ravi would have gotten the help that he needed, that his strong testimony would have been backed up by a strong spiritual walk with God. See, life has consequences for being wrong, doesn't it? Giving someone the wrong amount of a medication can kill them. Truth matters. Having an investment manager make the wrong decisions can lead a family in poverty. The truth matters. Boarding the wrong plane is going to take you to a place you don't want to go. The truth matters in life. Dealing with an unfaithful marriage can result in the destruction of a family and potentially even disease. The truth matters. If you don't think the truth matters, think about the last time you were on the receiving end of a lie and why that hurts so much. Because the truth matters. Now, maybe you're here today and you believe that the truth doesn't matter. The truth is just relative. Or maybe you're watching online and you think that the truth is just whatever we make of it. What if I told you you could ask the author of truth what truth is? You could ask this question, what is truth, from the very person that penned all truth? Well, number one, we can. His name is God. And number two, not only can we do that, we have a report of an eyewitness account for the first time that God stepped into humanity in human form. There was a person that asked him this exact question, what is truth? And we have that account in John chapter 18. So go ahead and open to there. The text is going to be up on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Pilate said to him, that's Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? Now, just so you understand the setting of all this, Jesus, this is his trial. This is the day he is going to die. And he is set before Pilate. And Pilate asked Jesus this question. Quite appropriate given the situation. You have God in the flesh in front of you. And you're going to ask a pretty significant question. But Pilate isn't asking it in sincerity. He's saying truth doesn't exist. Saying truth is whatever you make it. What is truth? So what is truth? Well, in defining truth, it's often helpful to define what it is not first. We must unlearn what it is we think truth is. Truth is not. What truth is not? Truth is not just whatever works. Just because something seems to work doesn't make it true. Lies can work, right? So how many of you watched the Elijah Wood version of Huck Finn or read The Adventures of Tom Sawyer? Okay. Huck and a runaway slave, Jim, are having a debate as to whether or not Frenchmen speak English. And Huck says to Jim that if you ever meet a Frenchman, he'll ask you how you speak French, or if you speak French, by asking, parlez-vous français? And Jim says, well, why don't he ask like a man? And Huck says, well, he don't talk like a man. Well, is he a man? He should. And Huck thinks for a minute. He says, well, you know how cows, do they talk like us? No, but they communicate to each other, right? Yeah. And cats, they don't talk like us, right? Yeah, but they talk to each other, right? I suppose. Well, there you go. In much the same way, a Frenchman is going to talk to another Frenchman in a different way than you and I do. Jim thinks for a minute, and then he presents a really logical argument. He says, well, tell me then, Huck, is a cow a man? No. Is a cat a man? No. Is a Frenchman a man? Well, yeah. Well, then why don't he talk like one? The whole argument is he should be speaking English because that's what men speak. Well, it worked, right? The logic worked. Still wrong. Just because something works doesn't make it right. The truth is also not what is simply coherent or understandable. A group of people can get together and agree to share a false story. That doesn't make it true, that just makes it a conspiracy. A shared falsehood. The truth is not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, bad news is sometimes true. And what seems to be good news can sometimes be false. Just because it doesn't feel good or doesn't feel right doesn't make it good or right or wrong or untrue. Truth is not what the majority says is true. 51% of a group can still come to the wrong conclusion, right? Anybody that's done a group project in school, you know what I'm talking about. You're the only one that knows the right answer, but everybody else is insistent. I had a class where I almost failed because there was that one loud person that was able to win the majority over to his wrong opinions. Yeah, I was that idiot, but... and it's also not what's comprehensive. Just because somebody has a longer discussion and even more details and even more eloquent does not make what they are saying true. It just becomes an eloquent lie. And along the same lines, the truth is not what is proposed by the most educated person. A person could have 50 degrees but still present a falsehood. It doesn't make that falsehood true. It just makes it an educated or an eloquent lie. That's not truth. The truth is not measured by what's intended. Good intentions can still lead to wrong conclusions. It's not how we know, it's what we know. And the truth is not simply what is believed. A lie believed is a lie just the same. And it's not something that's publicly proved. We have this concept that in order for something to be true, there has to be empirical proof of it. You realize that there are buried treasures around the world that only one person knew about. It was never publicly proven. But those treasures are still buried there, aren't they? The truth remains true, whether it's privately known or publicly known. And some truths don't have proof. Prove to me that love exists. How many grams does love weigh? What color is love? Sure, we associate pink and red with it. Love exists. The only proof we see of it are people's actions, and that could just be a chemical reaction in your brain. But there's love, right? On a day like today, how dare we deny it? You might not see it, but it's there. All right? So that's what truth is not. And after asking that question, I hope we are now asking the same question Pilate asks, is like, okay, what is truth then? If that's not what truth is, what is truth? Well, if Pilate had been listening to what Jesus just told him before this, he would have already had his answer. Look at what Jesus says in the verse just before verse 38. John 18, 37. He says this. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And it's after Jesus says this that Pilate says, "What is truth?" Notice he doesn't ask about specific truth, the truth. He asks about truthiness, truth in general. What is truth? Jesus tells Pontius Pilate here that he has come into the world to bear witness about the truth. Not a truth, not some truth, not truth in general, but the truth. Notice, he came to witness about the truth, not just what's in general. Then he adds, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. In other words, if you are seeking the truth, if you are watching this morning, if you are listening, if you are hearing these words at any time and you are seeking the truth, let me tell you something, you will find it in Jesus. If you are honestly seeking the truth, you will find it in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Not my words, those are his. If you are seeking the truth, you will find it in Jesus. So what is truth? We've already talked about what it's not. Pilate asked this question, now we're asking it. What is truth? Jesus, you said you're here to bear witness about the truth. What is it? Well, if we look at the dictionary for truth being defined, the Oxford English Dictionary contains the following definitions. True, it's an adjective in accordance with fact or reality, accurate or exact, loyal or faithful. And it comes from Old English treue or triue, steadfast, loyal, truth, faithfulness, consistency. And I find it interesting that in the Old English, it connects with steadfast, loyal, faithfulness, and constancy. That really connects to the way the Bible defines it as well. It's a good definition. It's like being a true friend, or being true to a standard, being true to an objective or an ideal. And the Greek word that, for those of you that don't know, the New Testament, written in Greek, the word for truth is aletheia. A meaning not, and letheia meaning covered. It's not covered, it's uncovered. It has this concept of the truth being uncovered, laid bare, nothing hidden, for everyone to see. It's not a hard thing to come by. It is there for your discovery. And then there's, well, the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, is written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and in Hebrew, there is no specific word for truth. Now, don't mistake that means there's no concept. I mean, it would be really weird for the Bible that claims to be God's word of truth to not have a word for truth, right? Well, it has a concept of truth, but it is always connected to these certain things, okay? It is always open, always connected to faithfulness, integrity, dependability, firmness, constancy, duration. And in fact, the very word that we consistently translate as truth from the Old Testament, emet, it means firmness, constancy, duration. In other words, it is something that is rock solid and unchangeable. So let's put those together. Something that is trustworthy, unchangeable, that is clearly there and open for you. That's reality. That's truth. The truth does not change. The truth is not conformed to your image. The truth is not conformed to your will or desire. And it is not hidden. It's not something that only the enlightened, the Illuminati, have access to. Everything of truth is seen in creation. Ultimately, though, if that is the truth defined, we have to understand the source of truth. The source of truth. Why is truth that way? Well, the answer is simple. Authentic biblical truth is bound to the faithful, unwavering character of God himself. Truth is bound up in who he is. You can trust everything he says. He never lies. He always keeps his word. He is faithful to his promises. He is the God of truth who cannot lie. It's impossible. So we think about God being omnipotent. He can do whatever. Nope, he can't. He cannot lie. The very reason for his truthfulness is that because he is completely faithful and reliable in all that he does and all that he says and all that he is. It's not like he could choose to lie to you. He can't. Not only is it contrary to his nature, it's not even in his nature to be capable of telling a lie. He is the God of truth. He is the God who is faithful and true. Now, that's his nature. And we see that nature most fully manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. When he came, God in the flesh, he was and is the ultimate expression of truth. Jesus, who We're going to go rapid fire here for a second. Called himself the truth in John 14:6. He was full of truth in John 1:14 and Ephesians 4:21. He told the truth in Mark 12:32. His words are true, Revelation 21:5. Taught the way of God in truth, Matthew 22:16. Taught about the truth, John 8:31 through 32, and came into the world to bear witness about the truth in this very passage. In other words, to put that all up into a capsule, truth surrounds who Jesus is. Truth surrounds who he is. Wherever Jesus is, there is truth. So let me ask you something. Are you tired of not knowing what to believe? Who to trust? Are you tired of people telling you what to believe? What they think is true? Never having a foundation? Never having a solid foundation for your life? Never having anything that you can rely on? There are so few things that we can fully be confident in. So we're now asking ourselves questions, not only what is truth, we know it exists, it has to exist, but how can we know what truth is? How can we know truth? Because do we know it with absolute certainty? Let me ask you, do you ever know anything with absolute certainty? Do you mean you never have any possible doubts about this? You realize the fact that we're even having this conversation, somebody could possibly doubt even while we're sitting in this room. You know, you might think that you're part of this computer program, you're in the Matrix. You laugh, people believe it. So, is it beyond all possible doubts? We don't know anything beyond a possible doubt, because the fault doesn't lie in the reality, the fault lies in our perception of it. Do we know things beyond a reasonable doubt? In that case, I would say yes, absolutely. Because when the truth came, we had no reason to doubt him. He gave us every evidence that what he was saying was faithful and true. Because even the alternatives to believing in truth offer no certainty. They don't even offer complete and total certainty. Because what's that known in philosophical circles? It's known as postmodernism. There's your million-dollar word for the day, okay? Postmodernism. The belief that truth doesn't exist, that it's relative, it's all just whatever you make it. And the patron saint of postmodernism, Friedrich Nietzsche, which, by the way, if you're going to choose a patron saint for somebody who doesn't believe in truth, sure, somebody who was institutionalized for psychopathic behavior, he's your man. But he described truth like this. What then is truth? A mobile army of metaphors, metonyms, and anthropomorphisms. Truths are illusions, coins which have lost their pictures and now matter only as metal, no longer as coins. Saying essentially that truth has lost its factual base, now it's just whatever you think is true. That's what's important, that you think something is true. Now, ironically, those who hold to this view hold that something, one of those faceless coins, has to be true, and that's there is no absolute truth. Do you catch the self-contradictory nature of this? There is no truth. Well, is that true? There is no absolute truth. Are you absolutely certain that's true? Well, then there's no way we could know that there's such a thing as absolute truth. Well, are you absolutely certain that you know that that's true? It's self-contradictory. It defeats itself. Either there is truth, or there is no way we know anything, and the world is all a farce. Friends, there is truth. And he was standing right before Pilate as he spoke. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." So how can we know the truth? Spend time in the truth. Spend time with the truth. Get to know him. Get to know his word. Because his word is truth. John 17:17, Jesus said that to God the Father. Your word is truth. If we're spending time abiding in his word, that just means we are hanging out in it and soaking in it. Getting to know it at every opportunity that we have. Now, there are two tests that I would advise. Tests of correspondence and correlation. Does this actually correspond to reality? From what you know to be true, does this fit? Does it correspond to the state of affairs as they actually are? Is it real? So I could tell you that all elephants are pink. Is it true? No. They're gray, or white, or black, or whatever country they're from, region from, they've got different colors, right? I could tell you that up is down, the sky is green, all sorts of things. You could check factually if what I'm saying is true, right? If I could tell you, if every one of you jumped right now, you'd land on the ceiling. Somebody could jump up and test, right? Does it correspond to reality? But then there are some things that are correlation. Does it correlate to reality? Because there are some things that we just can't test right now. For instance, if I say that tomorrow gas prices are going to plummet by 50 cents, there's a correlation to reality. Prices are going up. That doesn't correlate, man. I don't think that's going to be true. Now, tomorrow it would qualify for correspondence because you'd be able to say, it actually went up another 50, thank you. Correspondence and correlation. Does it fit with what is reality? And this is really important to this, because in no other area in life do we say truth doesn't exist. You go into a doctor's office, you know truth exists, and you want the cure. He has the truth of the cure, and you want it. But when it comes to our spiritual state, when it comes to our emotional state, our mental state, the state of our very heart and soul, no, truth doesn't exist. It's whatever I want it to be, whatever makes me feel good. Does that work in anything else? Look, if the doctor is only giving things that make you feel good, he's just prolonging or making it easier for you to die. He's not curing you. That's the truth. So you could say, well, those that claim to hold to absolute truth, to truth, they're narrow-minded, they're arrogant. Let me ask you something. The teacher that flunks the student on a test where they marked 2 plus 2 equals 5, is that narrow-minded? No. It's the truth. The teacher would actually be doing a disservice to that student to say, yes, you're right, 2 plus 2 does equal 5. That child is going to grow up and be an absolute failure in the career, in the real world. And is it arrogant to believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Man, I almost got it wrong. No. To know something is true and to believe that it is true isn't arrogant. It's just knowing the truth. It's arrogant to say, since I disagree with the truth, it must not be true. That's where arrogance truly lies. That's where narrow-mindedness truly exists. Look, somebody might say this is divisive and exclusive. It pushes people out that believe different than you. The truth is exclusive by nature. 2 plus 2 automatically will exclude every other answer other than 4. And that's pretty extensive in its exclusion. It's the nature of truth to exclude its opposite, any falsehood. And somebody might say, well, look, all that really matters is sincerity. As long as you sincerely believe that what you believe is true. Look, people have done horrible things in truth. They were sincere in their belief that something was true that was absolutely false. And the problem with this is that truth and reality, they are immune to sincerity and belief. They are not affected by your belief. If you're driving on the highway and the bridge is out in front of you, it's going to be out whether you believe it or not. The only thing that's impacted by your belief is you. That's the same thing with the truth. Either you believe it's true or you don't, and you suffer the consequences. See, truth is true whether you believe it or not. Agnostic Bertrand Russell, he posits that since minds can believe things that do not correspond to facts, beliefs do depend on minds for existence. Not truth, but belief of that truth. But they do not depend on minds for the truth. They depend on reality. Your belief is either true or it is not. And we might think that something is true that is contrary to facts, but that doesn't change the fact that they are still true and our beliefs are still false. See, it doesn't matter how much sincerity someone has when they believe that the wrong key is going to open a door. It's still not going to open it. Is that narrow-minded or arrogant for the locksmith to say, you have to have the right key? No, it's simply a fact. It's unaffected by sincerity. Because the person might sincerely believe, I was thinking about doing this as an illustration today, but I didn't want to get sued, of having a bottle up here with something poisonous in it. Have you ever heard that old poem, Poor, Poor John, will see his face no more, for what he thought was H2O was H2SO4? H2SO4 is the chemical formula for sulfuric acid. He thought it was water, sincerely thought it was water. Found out he was wrong. Sincerity and belief does not impact truth. It only impacts the person that believes it. But Jesus says to us and to Thomas, his disciple that sincerely doubted him, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. Whether you believe it or not, that's your choice. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. It doesn't change the fact that that's reality. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth embodied. Pilate asked this question, what is truth? And there he was, the truth staring him in the face. If only he had known. Don't make the same mistake as Pilate. Don't miss the truth. It's the truth that will set you free. Jesus is the truth. You know, there's a story of a man in Paris who had a stranger from the country came and visit him. So he wanted to show him the town. He took him to the Louvre and showed him all the fine and magnificent art of the day. Then he took him to a symphony hall where he heard a wonderful orchestra performing the greatest works by Bach, Mandel, Mozart, and Beethoven. At the end of the day, the man from the country, the stranger, said, I didn't much care for the art. The music did not really appeal to me. To which the Parisian said, they were not on trial. You were. See, when it comes to the truth is not on trial. We are. How we respond to it is our trial. If we try to judge the truth, we are the one standing in the seat of the defendant, not truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. That makes the Bible, that is all about Jesus and all about God, the truth about the truth. And when we have doctrine, which is the teachings of the Bible, that's the truth about the truth about the truth. And we have theology, things that we put together about it, which, by the way, pray for me. I'm working on our class for systematic theology where we put this all together. That is the truth about the truth about the truth about the truth. And when I'm up here preaching, hopefully, if it's a good sermon, it's the truth about the truth about the truth about the truth about the truth. Man, that's how far removed we are from truth just right now. Let me tell you something. Respond to me how you will. The truth is still the truth. God is still God. And until you get to know Him, you won't understand the truth about the truth. And it won't make sense to put together the truth about the truth about the truth, and so on and so forth until this morning in this sermon. See, truth is not just what correlates to reality. That's what many of us were taught. Truth is whatever correlates to reality. I think it goes a step deeper than that. I think truth is whatever correlates to God, because God is the source of reality and thus the source of truth. You cannot get truth apart from God, so it makes perfectly good sense when you remove God from the picture that there is now no such thing as truth in your life. Friend, you want truth? Come to Christ. Come to God. That is where truth is to be found, in abundance. Now, this is more than just a message for those that don't believe in truth, because I know many of you are sitting here nodding, yes, absolutely, this is what I believe. What's there for me? Are you standing for it? Are you standing for the truth? Do you believe the truth? Are you living in truth? See, it's the truth that sets people free. If the truth is what sets people free, why would we be afraid to stand for it and show it to them? Let them deny it. That doesn't say anything about you or the truth you represent. It's them. Pity them. Can you imagine living in a world where every step you take, the ground might fall out from underneath you? And yet with every decision we make in this world, that's what we are walking on. Quicksand. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Christian, we have the truth that sets people free, where they can walk boldly, knowing that they are walking in the truth, and the truth sets them free. Christian, are you willing to bring freedom to the people around you by speaking the truth in love? How many of you are willing to stand right now and say, yes, I'm willing to stand for the truth? Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me and say, I'm willing to stand for the truth even when it's unpopular? I'm willing to stand for the truth even when it's hard to understand. I'm willing to stand for the truth even when it is something that is going to offend the person. I'm willing to stand for the truth even when it hurts and it costs me. There is not a single person in this room sitting right now, let the record show. It doesn't matter what I see or anyone else in this room. The truth is watching. The truth sees what you have just said, and the truth knows what the truth is. Friends, it is my hope and prayer this week that you share the truth. And you have the opportunity to set people free. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for truth. Thank you that we do not have to walk in this world uncertain. Thank you that we have a certain hope of what is coming, that we know you are a God of your word that does not change, that does not lie, that truth is our foundation. But Lord, we lament that we are so wimpy about it, that we are so fearful to present the truth. Or Lord, that we present it in a way that is not loving. Lord, would you let the truth soften our hearts that we, like so many around us, were lost without you. And it was because of your love, your mercy, your grace that you showed to us that we can present that truth to others in such a way that it is not out of a place of anger or defensiveness, Lord, that it is out of a place of pity and love, of wanting to see them brought to the truth. God, would you work in our hearts to see that? Lord, many in this room have committed to stand for the truth. Would you give us the opportunity to do that today, this week? That we would be known as people who truly love others and truly love the truth. That we would speak it, that we would live it, that it would change the way we carry on in our daily lives. Lord, would the truth set us free to do what you have designed us to be? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that there are going to be unanswered questions in this series. I would hope so. If all your answers could come in half an hour, you're not living in the real world, you're living in a sitcom. That's the only time that ever happens is on TV. The problem is introduced and answered within 30 minutes. Doesn't exist in the real world. In fact, many of these answers are going to take a lifetime to arrive at, to finally have it firmed up in your heart. But I hope that it brings you closer to the source of truth, God, because God is big enough to handle your most powerful doubts. He is powerful enough to be able to answer your most elusive questions. Bring them to Him. He has the best answers for our biggest questions. Next week, we get to answer the question, why am I here? What is my purpose in this world? Something that many in the world are absolutely lacking, a sense of purpose and belonging. There's a reason the suicide rate has climbed significantly in the past year. What's my purpose if I can't go out and be with people, if I can't go do the fun things I want to do? Hopelessness. I hope next week to see some of your ones coming and hearing this. And maybe someone in this room or online, you need to hear this. So I hope to see you next week. But as you go, let me give you the blessing that God prayed, or Jesus prayed over you. The truth prayed over you in John 17. May God sanctify you in the truth. His word is truth. As he sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus has sent you into the world. And for your sake, he consecrated himself that we may also be sanctified in truth. You are sent now to show the truth. See you all next week, Lord willing. Same time, same place.